With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
That guy's Luke Moore.
All right.
And that guy's Pete Donaldson.
It's nearly Christmas, Marcus.
Oh. Tonight is the night when four become one. It's the Football Ramble.
Sorry. Bit of Spice Girls, Jim.
Bit of Spice Girls.
Also a bit of Human Centipede, though.
It doesn't work, does it?
What do you think of Human Centipede?
Well, think about what the song means.
It's not a Human Centipede.
Well, if there's four of us, it could
when
go that
four
way.
Four become one, big circle, eating some...
Sorry, Marcus.
Pooing some...
Oh, dear.
Be a little bit wiser, Peter.
I'm on the Ottobatchagay! Adding a bit of Monday Ottobatchagay there.
To be fair, we're all still giddy from Bristol City's win, aren't we?
Oh, my goodness me.
Joyous.
That was fantastic.
Are we as giddy as the ball boy who got flung around by Lee Johnson?
Practically took off.
Leave it out.
That kid can fly now. He's still got so much adrenaline
That's a written warning. He should be sticking to his position there, really.
Yeah. Well,
it's an important job.
Yeah, but actually, he said that he wanted to run on the pitch. But even in the mists of the madness, he remembered. And so he just grabbed the nearest ball boy and fling him around a bit. The ball boy looked like he had a good time. Okay, yeah.
Well, he had no say in it.
No further questions, yeah. Your Honour.
Like a dog with a chew toy.
But wasn't it?
But when people say, "Oh, in the heat of the moment," and so on, he still kept his discipline.
Yeah, true.
Did not throw the ball boy.
Kept his shirt on. Dropped the ball boy into the crowd. Yeah. So it's all fine.
In the build up to this game, I was a bit worried for Bristol City. Not because I don't think they're a good side, because I do, but because the noises that were coming from Lee Johnson was like, "We're really looking forward to it. Yeah. I bought a special bottle of wine to have with Mourinho afterwards.
Very reverential.
He's my hero," and all this stuff. Mm. And you thought, if that's how you're prepping for the game, we're going to be in for a shellacking.
Yeah. I know a man who might be able to take advantage of that.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, he wasn't able to.
No,
I know they made a lot of changes, but they had some talented players
definitely
playing.
I mean, Pogba and Zlatan on the pitch. You know, those players can hold their heads up so high. It's incredible.
Can I make a potentially controversial point about Zlatan's goal?
Mm-hmm. Keeper should have saved it.
I'll come on to that in a second. I don't actually think that was Zlatan's goal. Because if you watch it, it's actually going off target.
Right.
And it hits a defender.
Hits atoms of air.
Which deflects it closer to the keeper, which is why he doesn't save it, because he's outstretched.
Yeah.
And it goes right past his nose.
Yep.
So I don't know if that should be awarded to Zlatan. I'm putting it out there.
No, I know what you mean.
I love
the
Zlatan.
The dubious Luke Moore panel.
Well, I wouldn't like to take a goal away from him, Pete, but I'm just saying, in this case, it may not be his goal, although it will probably be given to him anyway.
Mm, if anyone knows Zlatan, do let him know what Luke's been saying about him.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Not just before Christmas.
It was nice to see the veteran or the experienced Luke stealing goal. Ex-Manchester United.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he ever played a
league. Traitor.
Traitor is a strong word for a guy who never, I don't think, started a league game or ever played in one.
Traitor.
To find other clubs and then eventually, years on, mugged them off in the cup.
I agree with Jimmy. I think he should be thoroughly ashamed of himself.
That would be like, had Mourinho ever said that, well, the goalkeeper, he's a traitor. Yeah. That'd be amazing. That'd be big Mourinho.
I thought the reporting on Mourinho's post-match interview, I was doing the newspapers this morning on the radio, and the reporting on Jose Mourinho's interview from Sky Sports and one or two others, I thought was actually quite irresponsible, because he said, Mourinho said, I thought they scored, they were a bit lucky, they scored in a good moment for us. And that's really all he said. Mm. And he actually went on to say,
I don't want to use the word lucky.
Yeah, we're Man United, we know how to win and we should know how to lose as well. Congratulations to them, it's a big day. And then said a few things about his own players, which was a bit of a sort of kick up the backside. Mm. But a lot of the media picked up on him saying that Bristol City were lucky, trying to sort of push this Mourinho's a sore loser narrative, which he is anyway. I mean, there's no need to actually make it up.
I didn't think he was particularly sore loser. You know,
I thought he dealt with it very well.
He gave Johnson a bit of a hug and a high five and all that and said, did he not say it was a beautiful day for football?
Yeah, he did. He did. He said those exact words.
Yeah, so I don't...
He's got a magnanimous mask that he can put on when he knows it would be sillier for him to just, you know, throw his toys out of the pram. Yeah. He's very much done that. It's just part of the shifting faces of Jose Mourinho.
I think the mask point is a correct term as well, because I suspect, I don't know him, but I suspect there's a bit of an underlying bitterness with Jose Mourinho.
Of course.
Yeah, and so not a controversial thing to say that, of course. But part of me does hope that he is on one level pleased for Bristol City.
No, I think he is. I think it would be silly not to suggest.
But he will be fuming to lose that game obviously the League Cup has been a very special thing for him, and you know he can't defend that treble now.
And also
illustrious treble.
He's going to have to win another treble, Jim.
Yeah,
another one does indeed exist.
Trebles all round, guys.
But what he would want to do is, he would want to stop Manchester City winning a quadruple.
Yes,
which is on. No matter what Guardiola may say, it is on. So very interesting indeed. I mean, Mourinho was right. Bristol City had a little bit of luck, but they played very well at the same time.
Yeah.
And Lee Johnson said that they played like a Premier League club. You can understand what he means. They've been going very well in the Championship. They're up third now. Mm. They've won a lot of games this season, hence their league position. But they're an exciting side. And the two goals they scored, particularly the first one, was a beauty. Mm. And the two passes to set them up, I think it was Pack who played him in, glorious pass.
The first goal was an absolute beaut.
Yes. It was brilliant. But, you know, they've earned their place there, absolutely, because they've beaten three Premier League clubs on the way there. So they had a lot of momentum. They attacked the game as if it was just any game in the Championship. They played with no fear, and they absolutely deserve what they got from it for approaching it in that right way, despite the reverence they were paid, or the manager was paying to United before the game.
Yeah, it wasn't the performance I expected after his comments. But do you think then, because there's always... because there is now almost a pattern in the Premier League with so-called lower league teams playing the bigger teams, where it's just they set up to spoil. Do you think, and would you like to see some Premier League teams follow Bristol City's example and actually have a go at teams?
I think so, but I think that translates from the Premier League teams resting players, and that in turn is what gives the Championship clubs that little boost, thinking, actually, we're playing Man United, but we're sort of playing their reserves at the same time. It's a bit of a leveller.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Premier League clubs would approach it that way when playing each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. I would like to see a few teams take a leaf out of their book. I think, was it Huddersfield beat Man United, didn't they? I think earlier in the season. But other than that, I'd like to see them approach it a little bit more. But it's easy for me to say. I mean, I'm not the one going to lose my job.
Man City, the pressure's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
You go out of a cup.
Man City went at them, it's fair to say.
They did, didn't they?
So maybe take a leaf out of Pep's book.
Are you suggesting they're one of the smaller teams?
in the city, they certainly are. Yeah.
If you want to go on record as saying that you think Man City are a smaller team, I can put it on social media and you can have a lovely Christmas.
Well, you said that you'd like other Premier League teams to have a go at Man United, you know. And then you mentioned Huddersfield, didn't I? Mm. And I rightly pointed out that also Manchester City did. But there we are.
Have you heard the story about the wine?
Yes.
They didn't share the wine, did they?
Oh, it didn't happen in the end, though.
No. It was a 450...
They didn't break bread.
They broke League Cup hearts.
Mm. But Lee Johnson's dad, Gary, used to manage Bristol City, and he's been in the press talking about how he's got his eye on it. So you kind of got to give it to dad now, haven't you?
But what was the reason that they didn't share it?
I think, obviously, the result was such a sort of big one that the pressers took a bit longer than was anticipated, and Mourinho just got off on the boxes.
Well, Mourinho turned up...
he didn't want to.
Mourinho turned up early for his press conference. He's done this a couple of times now, where he goes straight to the press conference.
And if no one's ready, he walks out.
Yeah.
He's done that a couple of times.
He has. There was only one journalist in there, apparently. Which, if you were that journalist, they'd be like, all right. Should we just have a chat?
I'd like to think that Mourinho just said to Lee Johnson, I don't feel like celebrating, to be honest. I've just been beaten. Wasn't expecting it.
I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to be drunk as well.
Yeah. It works the other way in my experience.
Well, it depends on your personality, doesn't it?
That's true, yeah.
What kind of drunk is Jose Mourinho? Let's speculate.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, it took them long enough to get down there, because they flew down on the morning of the game, which is quite an unusual decision. And then fog came along. Lee Johnson and the Bristol boys put up a bit of fog around the city. They sent out the fog screen, and then they had to go to Cardiff.
Get like a fog flare for that?
Yeah, maybe.
Fog flare.
I think that's the kind of thing that would happen in... Was it in China? Where was it? Where the Australian side turned up. And there was loads of cars getting in the way of the buses.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A couple of accidents, weren't there?
Yeah.
Guangzhou Evergrande, was it?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, maybe it's along those lines. Send up the form.
AVB gets very upset about that, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he does. We talked about it on the show, didn't we?
Well, so he should get upset about that. Nobody likes fog, mate.
You know, obviously looking ahead to the game at the weekend, Man United are playing Leicester. Mm-hmm. And I found a list of players who are on 4 bookings ahead of this weekend, and you can look out for them on our Twitter page. I've pinned the tweet.
There was a long list of players.
Quite a long list, but the most interesting one without question is Marcus Rocco, who has come back into the side in the middle of November, already picked up 4 bookings.
Amazing.
Presumably looking to pick one up this weekend. Flights to Buenos Aires already booked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to do what I can do. If it comes down to it, I'll just punch the ref in the last minute and get a red. But I need that other booking. So look out for him. And so Leicester are currently 16-5 to beat United at the King Power this weekend. £10 with Bet365 will return £42, including stake.
There we are. Leicester so close to beating Man City.
They were. Why did they rest players, Leicester?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a chance that,
Leicester,
wasn't it?
Leicester?
Could have got a cup, Luke. We got an email, actually, on that particular subject. Lee Glass. Hello, Lee Glass. Good morning, Ramblers. Well, it's afternoon, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a gamble when they say that.
Yeah, I know.
It's probably when he wrote the email, though.
Yeah, just that, Max. Have you filled the studio with a beefy crisp smell, you are pointing out the obvious.
You have failing to pick up on this, don't you? I have beef crisp beef with Marcus.
Every week, for the past 3 weeks, Marcus has arrived with a handful of beef crisps.
You must have a hypersensitive nose, which
for
is
beef?
Odd given your lifestyle. Because I never noticed that. Do you notice that, Luke?
Beef. Yeah, can you smell beef?
I noticed it today.
Yeah.
Do you have an email to read?
Yeah, I agree with Marcus.
The email says, Marcus Speller.
Good morning.
I'm sure it won't have gone unnoticed, the expert level of Christmas skiving carried out by Alvaro Morata.
Uh-huh.
On Wednesday night, he pulled off the rarest of all moves, over-celebrating a last-minute goal in the Carabao Cup quarter-final against Bournemouth, collect the resulting yellow card, and what do you know? League Cup bookings count in the league, and you have Christmas weekend off.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah,
that's a little bonus chance to get booked. He's
cheeky.
Played that very
his
well.
Wife will be very pleased because or his partner, because she's pregnant, which was the celebration. So he's acknowledged the pregnancy, so she'll be quite pleased about that. And he's got not only
There's
have
so
done
many
that,
footballers done.
Yeah,
yeah. Not mine.
Not only have I naughty. Not only have I done that, I've also got a little bit of time off to spend with you.
Yeah, I
had to remove Alvaro Morata from the list because he was actually still on the list. Because I don't think everyone noticed that he got booked late on. But yeah, he's already scot free.
Actually,
he won't be, will he? Because it's a weekend game this weekend.
Yeah.
So we're only missed one game.
So he'll be back in
for the following game. So he's gone too early.
Oh, I see.
Silly Billy.
Very silly.
Well, he gets a pre Christmas treat.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
It was gutting for Bournemouth.
It really was.
Poor old Eddie Howe, you really gutted about that.
They feel like they're up against it at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
Because we talk about teams who are most likely to be relegated. I know this is obviously a cup game, but I don't know if we've really mentioned Bournemouth that much. And because I think the press around Howe is always so positive, and we all know the amazing job he's done at the club. Well, they're 1 point off relegation. They can't seem to get any sort of run together at all. I don't think they've won in their last 5. Or 6 even.
We spoke about them at the start of the season. They lost an awful lot of games early on. They have picked up a little bit, you know, but they're not having a good season.
Well, their story has kind of been replaced with Burnley a little bit. Kind of smaller club kind of overachieving effectively.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And you wonder whether, I mean, they signed Ibe for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He's not really done much. Mm. They've obviously got Defoe him because of the history of him, and he needed a new club, and when he scored a lot of goals last season, relatively speaking. Neither have really worked, have they?
Yeah. It's a funny thing with Bournemouth. You look at players, you look at teams that come up and they do well and get picked apart, and as we're sort of seeing with Swansea over the years, even if they've got a really good system in place, it kind of falls apart a little bit. But you do look at Bournemouth, think aside from perhaps Josh King, are there that many players people would be sort of like screaming to get into their squad if Bournemouth went down? I think maybe they've been overachieving for a while, and the pressure of that is starting to show.
The worse it gets for Bournemouth, the more pleased I am slightly. Not because I particularly have any particular malice towards Bournemouth, or against them rather. I think that it just removes those new stories about Defoe going to the World Cup. So
yeah,
we're fine. The worse they get, the worse Defoe looks, and we don't have to talk about that particular footballer.
the players
brilliant.
You want,
one down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before long, we don't have to talk about football at all.
Players you want to look out for this weekend with Bournemouth, are Harry Arter and Steve Cook, both one booking away from Christmas off.
Awesome stuff.
There you go.
We should have made like an advent calendar, and as they go down, we eat chocolate.
I've got a long list here. You can go on Twitter and you can tick them off like a bingo list on Saturday and Sunday.
I think it's a good idea.
Of course, the headline makers really down at the bottom of the table are Swansea at the moment. Yeah. Paul Clement's gone.
For the wrong reasons, Marcus.
Yes. A headline is not always a good thing.
No. He has been given the Spanish.
Yeah.
And you know what? I find this particularly interesting because Clement's been having a terrible time of it. But the statement made by Hugh Jenkins was you know, it sounded quite heartfelt. Like he didn't really want to fire him, but he had no choice. But two reasons I find this interesting very quickly. One, because Swansea, I read a piece the other day talking about Angel Rangel, who's the only player left from this sort of golden time they had and their identity. Mm. And he seemed to make out that, or the piece seemed to make out that they've completely lost their identity. Like they don't have any sort of idea.
The fans aren't happy.
Quite, exactly. And the second point is, you fire Paul Clement now, the candidates for the job, the top three candidates for the job 2 months ago would be Moyes, Allardyce and Pardew. Mm-hmm. They've all got clubs.
Yeah.
So you're faced with Tony Pulis, or I know Leon Britton's taken temporary charge. He's obviously a long-serving player there, quite well-rated as a football sort of mind, or going for a lower league manager. I don't really know what Swansea are going to do. They're going to be, I predict though, they're going to be caught in this rut. If Leon Britton turns it around a little bit, gets a win and a draw, they're going to give it to him at the end of the season. Yeah.
Gary Monk him.
Who knows? Yeah, exactly. Who knows what's
not
going to
particularly
happen.
Back him in the transfer window as well, because he's Leon Britton.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right about that. I think the identity thing, because it feels like, you know, the reason Swansea are in the position that they're in, which is, you know, traditionally way above their kind of natural kind of status, is because the joined up thinking at the club was phenomenal. But if you include Alan Curtis, they've now had 6 managers in 2 years. Mm-hmm. That has completely unravelled. And as we were talking about with Bournemouth, your players get picked away. That is just the reality of the Premier League. So you have to think, even with joined up thinking, you have to think on your feet. And that is, they're just, you know, they're a little bit behind themselves, I think we'd all agree.
And if you want a sort of a very obvious point or factor or a pointer that they're not thinking in a joined up way, I think this is the 3rd December in a row they fired a manager.
Yeah.
So at the key point in the season, every single year for the last 3 seasons, they fired their manager.
They're surviving, though.
Yeah, true.
It clearly works.
It doesn't, though, does it? Because you look at someone like Sunderland, who are a perfect example of this, where you can get away with it a few times in a row, but eventually, unless you do something drastic in terms of changing the way you play or finding an identity,
someone will have a job in the stands.
Sunderland have got a way of playing. It's just not very good.
It's just not that similar to football.
I do worry for Swansea. I mean, the problem is, you know, you lose sort of 9 of your last 11 and you see all these stats about Clement. Mm. It's not going very well at all. I mean, he does deserve credit for keeping them up last season, but as we know, football last season was last season. Yeah, now it's this season.
I mean, do you think they're aiming at Tony Pulis as a firefighting thing? It must be beyond nobody at the club that they are in dire straits.
Some of the reports are suggesting that Pulis, I think a couple in the last, when was he sacked? Yesterday. People said Pulis was one of the front runners. But actually today, at the time of recording, people are saying actually that they're not looking at Pulis as strongly as we might have thought. Giggs has turned the job down. I always appreciate Giggs ruling himself out of jobs.
Yeah.
Ronald Koeman, which might be quite ambitious.
I wonder about that, though, because of the money that's available in the Premier League.
Jim, you know who's been linked this morning in the newspapers? The big unit himself. LVG. I'm being serious. He's being linked in the newspaper. I just said earlier, I did the newspaper roundup on the radio this morning, and more than one newspaper was linking Van Gaal with the job.
And that gives him a very specific opportunity to get one over on Man United.
Yeah. Because he'll have 6 months there, he might get a win, and that'll be that.
Yeah, he'll just drop the microphone and quit at the end of that match if he does get the win.
I set him in slightly more sort of depressing news. I would be very, very surprised personally if it's not Pulis or Britton to the end of the season.
Slaven Bilic, right?
They'd have to be have rocks throughout their head.
Well, why has Giggs turned it down?
Because it's a Welsh job, waiting for the Man United job.
I don't understand.
That's a fair question, because Ryan Giggs appears to be a guy who, since he left Man United, and to be fair,
he's a managerial concept, really, isn't
he? Yeah, exactly.
Rather than a person.
But Pete, I will start this by saying I completely understand why he walked away from Man United, because he was the assistant for a while. Mm. They overlooked him.
And he said, and he was working under Louis van Gaal.
My position is untenable. So I get that. But beyond that, he's basically ruled himself out of every single job.
He's like, the water's too hot, the water's too cold. He's like, he's Goldilocks.
To be honest, if he did manage Swansea, he'd still be going to Man United home games, whether Swansea had a game or not anyway. So that's
what it would work. He's probably asked about it and he's got to say, no, I'm not interested.
But what sort of job do you think he does blooming want?
Just kind of being an ambassador for, what's the side they all own?
Oh, Salford City.
Salford City. Being an ambassador for them. Yeah. That's fine. I did enjoy this, that Gordon Strachan reckons that the job is too hard for Pulis.
Well, Strachan, every job is too hard for Strachan.
Well, he said that Swansea, they don't have the kind of the minerals that Pulis needs. They're not as powerful and as big as what Pulis likes.
Well, he wouldn't know. Thatcher shut down all the mines, didn't she?
Yeah.
an odd thing for Strachan to say. I'm sure Pulis is a little sort of put out by that. But I think there's probably some truth in it. I think this is the worst squad that Swansea have had in the Premier League.
Yeah. Well, Strachan went on to say, I'm sure Tony is fed up with this firefighting thing, which obviously Strachan has just said. There's much more to Tony than that, but he does that job very well. I just don't know whether Swansea have the power. So he's tied himself up enough.
Have Swansea got the cash, though? I do wonder about, like, you know, managers like Koeman and stuff. They ain't LVG, like...
Well, they just got £45 million for Sigurdsson.
And the TV money coming in means everybody's
one striker in this market.
The funny thing about Strachan, that's not the funniest thing Strachan said this week.
Strachan is basically, is he touting himself?
But you know, he said in a Scottish newspaper this week that despite not taking the start of the World Cup qualifying campaign at all seriously, then making a mockery of Scottish football in its entirety by saying we don't have big enough players, and then having a director, sort of a centre of football excellence in Scotland, which he refused to use... But for unknown reasons, he then come out this week and said, well, no one would have got more out of those players than I did. No one. It's like, what are you talking about?
But now he's applying that to other managers. So he's basically going, Swansea, don't go to Pulis. They're not big enough and strong enough for him.
Maybe he just wants Van Gaal in there like we all do.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what it is. He's doing us a good service.
But whoever their manager is, between now and January or whatever, Swansea are 2-9 favourites with Bet365 to be relegated. So £10 returns £12.22, including stake.
I tell you what, Bonnie's injured for the game on the weekend as well, which is going to be a little bit of a loss.
This was 5-4 last season, do you remember?
It's an absolutely amazing
game.
Palace Swansea. So, that's right. So it was. But I mean, that surely the last thing Swansea want at the moment is to see coming over the hill Roy the Boy and his men riding in the town.
Nobody wants that now they've got their away form on track.
That is the last thing they need.
Well, Super Eagles.
Fourth last thing.
You'd fancy an eagle against a swan, Peter.
What do you mean? Well, they're quite violent. No one's been quite violent. Eagles aren't. They just eat for food.
Both tough birds.
I don't think speaking of tough birds, Margaret Thatcher. What?
Marcus, I don't think it's as cut and dried as you think. I think a swan would be a dark horse in that battle. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a swan, but you know what I mean.
A dark horse meaning it wouldn't be the favourite then?
Maybe not.
No.
Not Leicester City.
Right, it's time for correspondence with Peter Donald.
It is time for correspondence, speaking of Margaret Thatcher. Let me just get it up. There we go. It's up, people. It's very much up. Hello to Carlos Rodriguez. Who sounds like a footballer.
Yeah.
I think anyone with the name Rodriguez does.
What's his name? Carlos Rodriguez.
Brilliant. Hello, Ramblers. I really need your help. Is it just me, or is there an advert in Dutch on your 12 Rambles of Christmas? I've certainly heard one in episode 7 and 8. I'm well confused. And he ends the email basically letting us know precisely why that's happened, especially as I've just spent the weekend in Amsterdam.
Well, you've answered your own question.
Well, then we have geo-locked adverts, guys.
Yeah.
Get with it,
and
Carlos.
Louis van Gaal wanted to do a voiceover for us. We couldn't say no.
Exactly.
We tried, but...
Nobody denies that, man. Hello to James Dawson. Luke mentioned in the Spain special, that the three wins coincided with Pep being Barcelona manager. He then moved on to Bayern and was their manager for the 2014 German World Cup win. Therefore, it's guaranteed that Fabian Delph and Phil Foden will be picking up that trophy in June.
Kyle Walker mentions Phil Foden.
Isn't the trophy dished out in July anyway?
It is, yeah. England will be so good. We'll have it wrapped up in June.
Shall we just call this off? This is mental.
Merry Christmas to you all. I'm sure the turkey will taste sweeter knowing the World Cup is in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Does anyone cook their turkey in a bag? I reckon that would probably make the juices a little better.
I'm sure
it's possible. You can cook
turkey's
a chicken
so dry,
in a bag.
Isn't it?
It is.
I always help my mother cook the turkey on Christmas Day.
Well done.
And we cover it with streaky bacon and foil for a proportion of the cook.
Right, okay.
And then to rest it, you turn it upside down so the juices go back through. And that's how you keep it moist.
When you say streaky bacon, putting an onion in does something.
Right, okay. That's yeah. good, Jim. Yeah.
With moisture.
When is your cookbook out?
Jim, put an onion in it.
Got to be honest, mate. The first draft hasn't gone well.
No, I saw your cookbook on the shelf. It's just it's one page. It's a big onion in the middle.
Yeah. It's a takeaway menu.
It's a turd duckin', but it's all onion.
As long as you've got
shoving
an onion
in an onion, and there's a shallot in the middle.
As long as the onion's in the house, that's fine. When you say streaky bacon, do you mean frazzles?
No, Mother Moore would not let me get away with that.
Mother Moore,
fetch me the frazzles.
Mother,
frazzles on a packet of Bernard Matthew.
Oh,
was it you, Jimmy, who was telling me that you had a bacon burger once, and instead of bacon in the burger, there was some frazzles?
Sounds like something I'd have experienced.
Oh, okay. Somebody tell me that. We're going to talk about Arsenal and Liverpool.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
After this.
I've never felt this bad ever.
Well, there's a bit of festive cheer.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody. Oh, under the Friday night lights, Arsenal host Liverpool.
Yes, a chance for revenge after they gubbed us.
Yeah, what's Oxlade-Chamberlain going to do? Another performance to mug Arsenal off again?
I would think so. Like, it's the whole returning player narrative. I think that's bigger than any two clubs.
Kloppo was bigging him up, wasn't he?
He was.
He's saying he had a little fucking dig at Wenger as well. He said, what did he say? He said, oh, Wenger didn't get the best out of him.
Well, if you look at the stats, that's absolutely true. And I think Oxlade-Chamberlain has to sort of take some of the blame for that.
Which I would say, Jim, why single out Oxlade-Chamberlain that?
I don't think you've heard Arsene Wenger concede the title yet, mate.
No, I haven't actually.
You might well eat your words a bit later.
Yeah, I probably will.
I am a little bit concerned about that. But the problem with Oxlade-Chamberlain at Arsenal was his end product wasn't up to that much. And there's been a little bit of an upturn of that in the past few games with him. But I don't think I've seen anything at Liverpool that makes me think, like, oh, we're missing him so much. But again,
right.
It's that returning player narrative, isn't it?
Well, Klopp said at Arsenal they've relied on Sanchez, Ozil and, to a lesser extent, Giroud for goals. Whereas at Liverpool, they share the burden of
Digit
goal scoring.
Lacazette. Top scorer.
On the Klopp thing, I said he bigged up Oxlade-Chamberlain. He did actually also say that he thinks he needs to score more goals. And I would echo what Jim said. It's not like he's set the world on fire and you're regretting it every day. I completely agree. But there probably is more to come from him. Two points on Wenger. One that, did you see his quote the other day about Ozil? I thought, is this going to wind
Which
up?
One was that?
He was asked in a press conference whether Ozil will stay.
No, I think we said it on the show.
Yeah,
didn't
and he not? Said, "I think I'm confident, but what does that mean? I don't
yeah,
know."
Yeah, that's yeah. right. We yeah. said it on here. Yeah.
It's been
okay,
throwing fine. Out some weird ones about sumo wrestling.
Of course,
we've
covered that. Apologies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The second point,
it's always worth reiterating.
Second point I want to make, and maybe Jim can answer this because he'll see Arsenal a lot more than I do, is why doesn't he just play Lacazette every game?
I wish I knew that, because Lacazette is one of those players where, to be fair, sometimes he looks like he's not doing a huge amount, but then he does pop up and score. And I think Giroud has actually played more minutes than Lacazette, which is astounding.
Weird.
Yeah.
Because my friend who goes to watch, big Arsenal fan, goes to watch Arsenal all the time, he WhatsApped me the other day saying, you know what, I don't think Wenger rates Lacazette.
It really feels like
well,
that. He hooks him off
for the first half of the season.
I wonder if it's like just getting up to the pace and the speed of the Premier League, because some players take a little bit longer to adapt than others, because he still scored goals in that time.
He's been all right. He scored more than a handful of goals.
But it's like you said, some players do look, they know when to get in position, they know when to conserve energy. Lukaku's like that, to be honest. He walks after the match.
He looks a little bit behind Ozil and Sanchez in terms of where he needs to be when they're doing certain things. It looks like the three of them are very close to clicking, but it's not quite there yet. But obviously, sometimes you need a goal. So
is that because Sanchez isn't crying at the moment?
No, I don't think that's actually a fair assessment of Sanchez.
Yeah,
I saw him at the weekend and he absolutely busted gut.
Shove your assessment up your
But he's certainly not been as effective, which might show a kind of obviously some sort of mental dropping off. But yeah, it's a bit of a confusing one. I feel this is going to be a tough game at the weekend. Petr Cech could become the first Premier League goalkeeper to 200 clean sheets, but that is going to be a big ask.
I mean, that's not going to happen.
No, I was going to say, yeah.
I don't think how you stop.
I mean, he'll
Liverpool
get there. Not this weekend, probably, but he will get there.
Is it fair to say that Sanchez isn't sort of sticking out like a sore thumb like he did last season because Arsenal were pretty turgid at times and Sanchez was just annoyed all the time for, you know, being much better than all of his teammates?
Well, I don't know if this season's that different from that.
Does it just show that Arsenal are just playing a bit better?
Well, Arsenal's attacking.
I know what you mean
at the moment,
some of their football has been pretty recent lately in pockets and matches.
Well, this is the problem, though, isn't it? That's always the case. Mm.
Well, Arsenal are 6-4 with Bet365 to beat Liverpool under the Friday night lights. £10 will return £25, including stake. Mm.
There was a nice picture of the Liverpool team wearing Santa hats during their training session. They weren't actually training in the Santa hats, just to be clear that they are professionals. but it was nice to see. It's also nice to see Adam Lallana coming off the bench against Bournemouth. He was booked within 10 seconds, and I thought to myself, Adam, it's too late for you to get Christmas off. Okay, you've had long enough off as it is.
You're better off pretending you're injured again.
Exactly.
Would you fancy him to force his way back into the England setup? Surely he'll be
very
involved.
Much so. Very much so.
He's always performed at that level, and he'll presumably hit pace at around about the right time.
But the way forward players are playing, though, like, where do you think he comes in? I guess, like, obviously Klopp is going to rotate as heavily as possible in January. Given how their the season went last year because of that, but
it is a
do you
fair
think
point.
He can just slot back in.
It is a fair point. It depends what he fancies doing. I mean, it gives him another option on the front three. Although the front three are all about the pace, aren't they? And Lallana doesn't provide that in the same way that they
do.
It just
gives you a different option. I mean,
it gives you a different option.
You look a few years ago when Man City were playing those three behind the one. A lot of those three were quite different type of players. It's just different challenges, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he'll get brought on simply by virtue of the fact that the assistants will say, do you fancy doing some defending, Klopp? Do you want to bring a defender on? He'll go, not listening, la 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 la, and put Lallana on. Okay, cool.
I'm going to bring on Adam Lallana as an extra centre-back, but here's the kicker. He's going to play right up there.
Yeah. Isn't that a charismatic move you didn't expect?
And if you don't know, you've never seen football before, obviously. See you later.
There's your bleeding Gagan press, mate. Yeah. I think that... Could Lallana... I mean, would he... I don't know, this would be a little bit of a change, but in the midfield three, play in front of two more defensive players?
Well, we'll see, won't we? I just think he's a good option. I'm someone who had to be convinced by Lallana, and I now have been.
You have, yeah.
And
that's the real quiz.
I think he gives you a different option. I think, if you've got a different challenge or you're managing the game in a different way, 20 minutes to go or whatever, you can change it around.
He could not be coming back at a better time for them.
Yeah, that's true. Better news for Arsenal after that was that Stephen Nzonzi's in town to talk to Arsenal and Everton. Will it be Big Sam or Big Veng?
He'll go to Everton.
You think?
Well, that's just how it works for Arsenal, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Arsenal will offer more money and he'll go to Everton. No, Arsenal will offer less money. Say they offered more money and he'll go to Everton.
Then come back in with a bid for less money.
You know, like one of those flow charts? Mm. I've got one of those in my mind, but every single one of them points to him going to Everton.
Well, if it makes a difference to either Arsenal or Stephen Nzonzi, I'm up for it. I'm in. I like the fit.
He'll score the winning goal for Everton in the FA Cup against Arsenal.
Do you fancy the Zons round for Arsenal?
Yeah, I think he provides something Arsenal really need in the middle at the moment.
And then Everton reportedly interested in Theo Walcott.
Yeah, Theo Walcott and Big Sam. Can that be real? He's the most un-Big Sam player. I mean, he could run onto a lot of long balls.
Because he likes a bit of... Look at the way Big Sam got out of Andros Townsend sometimes at Crystal Palace. He'd stick him right out on the wing. Yeah. He'd be disappointed in his crossing. Let's be.
Can I just say, I don't think Big Sam is a long ball merchant. I think that's a narrative that's incorrect.
I think he's got much more on his.
I think
he's
just an arch pragmatist.
Yeah, but sometimes that means, playing that style of game. It absolutely has to.
But I think now he's got the best squad of players that he's ever had. As we keep saying, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they. I mean, he's not going to play. I don't think when I see a Big Sam team play, like a good example you said, Marcus B. Palace. You couldn't argue they played at times the same way as his Bolton team did years ago.
Oh, that's fair.
He just plays to his strengths.
Actually, as well, to be fair to him and sort of row back a little bit there, his Bolton team didn't always play like that. No. It was just something they had when they had to sort of, dig in against the bigger teams.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. More worrying news for Arsenal is that reportedly council inspectors have found evidence of mouse activity throughout the Emirates Stadium with visual droppings seen in the Diamond Club kitchen and across all four levels, Jim.
Visual droppings?
Visual droppings. Unlike that Sunderland fan.
Maybe it was him.
Yeah, the club said measures are in place to deal with the mice.
Yeah, I mean, mice are everywhere in London, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, clearly.
When I lived over the road, did I have mice? No, it was quite a new building and I was on the fourth floor. though they can climb higher.
It says here they're on all four levels, so you need to be on the fifth level to be safe, presumably.
Yeah. I hope those mice are paying.
I assume they
are. I hope they didn't nibble on my vegetarian samosa. Not samosa, what do you call it? A burrito that I had at the weekend.
Oh, right.
Well, you've already had it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it now, pal. Uh-huh. And a burrito would be the worst type of food to be able even to detect it.
Mm. There's all so sorts going on already, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a vegetarian one, so I would notice, wouldn't I? That's a bit of meat.
It was a vegetarian one.
No, it's a mouse, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jim, if the Emirates is covered in mouse shit, would it put you off going?
If it reduced tickets, I think I'd probably go.
I can't see a way that can increase tickets. No. I mean, they might find a way to spin it.
Their big deal is it's the most expensive season ticket, but you do get Champions League matches and a free mouse to take home to your children.
Oh, a majestic mouse in the wild.
Mm. Got a Gunnosaurus, shoot a T-shirt cannon at them.
Yeah. And that's how they're dealing with it, apparently. Mm. Gunnosaurus is going to go around and eat them all up. Now then,
Gunnosaurus is actually just loads of mice in that costume.
Handing out the sugar mice, that would be nice. Stoke face West Brom at home on the weekend. This is a big one down the bottom end of the table. We spoke about Swansea earlier on, of course, and Bournemouth. But Stoke against West Brom is a huge one, especially for the two managers. Hughes, the odd report suggesting that he could be out of a job if they lose that one. And big Pardew, we haven't seen the Pardew bounce
yet. I want to talk about the pardoning. He's getting away with
he is getting the pardoning,
how's he spun
isn't he?
This? How's he getting away with this?
Yeah. And with the Hughes thing, the reports today were that, as you just said, that he might be out of a job. But I saw another newspaper report today saying that he might be given money to spend in January. So we don't know what's happening. But Pardew, I think, do you know what? And this is going to sound like I'm massively bigging myself up, and you know I'm not all about that.
No.
But if you'll just indulge me for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
When Pardew got given the West Brom job, I was away. So I don't think we hammered him as much as we would. No. I'm the most natural hammerer on the show, aren't I?
You gave a fist pump.
And Pete, hammer.
You tend to seethe. It's all going on internally. You're so angry, you can't pick a particular thing to talk about.
So we should do a bit of this because Pards hasn't even had his traditional new manager bounce. No. They've lost recently to Swansea. They've lost at home to Man United, of course. They couldn't win against Crystal Palace at home. So Pards needs to really take a couple of barrels here.
Yeah, he does.
Pete, what do you think about it? Is Carver involved? Carver's there, isn't he?
There's your reason.
I think the man's a penis. But
Carver's there, isn't he?
I can't believe he's
Carver at West Brom.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I heard
where is Carver?
I believe he is. Yeah.
I heard him on the radio the other day talking about it.
Because it was a Pete Donaldson dream team.
Yeah, he's assistant head coach to Pardew.
That's right. Geez. Sorry, I couldn't remember. For some reason, I thought he was at Everton. It's a big Sam. But yeah, we did talk about Carver going there, of course.
Birmingham's a big city with a thriving nightlife. It could be that. It could be finding his feet.
Are you confusing John Carver with Sammy Lee? That's disgusting, Marcus.
No, I thought you got them both in.
what a dream team that would be.
Lads, I've got the keys.
I think they are quite sort of easy to confuse, those two.
Yeah. Really? One of them's blonde and teethy.
Perennial assistants to mid-level managers in England, you know.
Give me a Terry McDermott and now we'll talk.
Yeah.
What a trio. What a triforce.
Let's talk John Gorman. Let's talk Chris Hutchinson. Chris Hutchings?
I'd rather go north of the border and have Big Archie.
Oh, yeah. Now you're
not to be trusted.
Literally
with a team.
Squeeze performances out of players.
Show at thefootballramble.com for your best long-serving assistant managers.
Yeah.
And I'll put it out there. I'd prefer it if there were bad managers. That's much better.
Well, that's the Gary Megson model, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Gary Megson
model. Mega. But Brian Kidd, is he not at Man City now?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What a lovely old job.
Yeah.
What a lovely old job.
He's way above that level.
But he enjoyed a number of years at Manchester United with Ferguson. Obviously didn't really make it as a manager. I think he was in charge when Blackburn got relegated that time.
Mm. He definitely managed Blackburn for a while.
Yeah, picked himself up, da-da-da-da-da, and now he's at Man City. Neighbors.
Do you reckon he gets stick off Man United fans from that? Would enough of them recognise him on a regular basis?
I think with that one, I think if he was really heavily involved, you know, like if he was doing post-match interviews, that kind of thing, and was in Pep's ear on the sideline, all that kind of stuff, I think maybe.
Pep's got Mikel Arteta as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's just a sort of a general figure in the background.
Speaking of Spaniards,
the bloke whose name
I always forget, and I will not remember at this point because the show's running and I
Carlos
do that
Rodriguez.
Sort of thing. yes, Carlos Rodriguez, the assistant to Rafa, who looks like Mike out the Young Ones. Because they took a press shot of him at working, and in the background on his computer, tipped his computer, there was a lot of Geordie-isms that sort of what people were meaning when they were saying certain things because he couldn't understand.
I like that.
Fantastic.
Indeed, yeah. But I mean, Pards needs a win here, and against a very out of form Stoke side, he might well fancy it. But I'm looking at Stoke, and we've talked about some of their failings this season. And I know they've got a couple of big injuries still. Bruno Martins is still out, and then Kurt Zouma's injured as well. But I was looking at that Stoke team, and I just thought they shouldn't be down there with some of the quality they have. You know, they've got a few goals in that team.
Is Stoke West Brom the most fourth match on Match of the Day ever?
Yeah, it's possible.
Quite and possibly
lower than that. Probably.
Possibly later. Oh, yeah. Possibly even later.
Which Match of the Day are you talking about?
Oh, Match of the Day two.
Oh, you'd be third or fourth, maybe. Well, I don't know. It depends, though, because depends you could have a lot of goals in
they
that
mix
game.
It up. Yeah.
That is a huge game.
Also, a 0-0 draw with Liverpool, the form they're in, is not to be sniffed at.
That is true.
Stoke are 6-5 with Bet365 to beat West Brom at the weekend. So £10 returns £22, including stake.
Yeah. Bit of news for West Brom is Ahmed Hegazi has signed a permanent deal.
Yeah, he's a bit of a colossus, actually, Hegazi. Yeah. I quite like him.
He really takes the game by the scruff of a neck.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The neck.
Maybe a neck. Just any neck will do.
I think you were quite right. I mean, West Brom, they've drawn four in their last six, so they're picking up the odd point. You know, when you look at Palace, they're getting a few draws and now they're turning into...
If you draw four out of every six games, you get relegated.
Depends on what everyone else is doing.
That is true, actually.
Straight out.
But it's not going to be great, is it?
No word for Steve Bold in the assistant manager chat?
Oh, yeah. Because he's been at Arsenal, hasn't he?
Pat Rice.
I feel like to truly fit into this category, you need to have done that in a number of clubs.
Okay, true. Yeah, you've got to follow a manager.
You've got to be a bit of a
journeyman. You've got to follow a manager.
Hey,
I agree
Bondi.
With
that. Bondi.
Hang on.
Yeah, Bondi's Bondi's textbook.
Absolutely.
Kevin Bond.
Yeah.
What about... No, Bondi is Haynes Manuel.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
What about Mike More Than a Feeling?
Yeah.
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 But he didn't really... I mean, where has he followed? He went and managed at Hull for his own back, didn't he?
For a bit.
This Steve is Clark.
Obviously off his own back.
Steve Clark, what we've established here, this is a rich vein of chat. Isn't it? But should we do our best bet with Bet365?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got someone else in the hot seat, and it's a Christmas hot seat.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. A Christmas throne.
If it were even more possible, Pete... A Christmas manger.
Yes.
If it were even more possible, the pressure's on even more. And today's bet of the week, best bet with Bet365, I should say, comes from Tom Walker, who says, "Hi, Ramblers. Leicester v Man United will be the first match in the new 7:45 on a Saturday kickoff slot. And for my bet of the week, I'm predicting a Jose Mourinho masterclass. What better way to mark such a momentous occasion on the TV than for Jose to completely kill the mood by masterminding a boring but effective win at the King Power against a Leicester side who saw their good run halted by a loss against Crystal Palace and then a penalty shootout defeat to Manchester City. Therefore, I am proposing for my bet of the week Manchester United to win 2-0 in the result, both teams to score market, currently priced at 21-10 with your friends at Bet365, meaning a £50 stake will return £155, including stake, for a great cause. Tom's absolutely right with his odds and return. £50 will return £155, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org.
Imagine if we go into 2018 with a winner. A carryover winner.
Oh, it'd
winner.
Be fantastic.
That would be good. We hope that that bet comes in for that man's sake and charity's sake as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Should we look ahead to the weekend, though?
Yeah, I've got a couple of looking ahead to the weekend. I'll be honest, I thought Pete might have a few more emails, so I've not overly populated it with looking ahead to the weekends. Maybe you guys can chip in.
That's fine. I mean, people are obviously looking forward to Christmas, so it's an obvious thing.
I'm going to a Christmas game on Boxing Day.
Oh, yeah, who's
I'm
that?
I'm going to Portsmouth AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, that's good.
Who have just been fined for refusing to acknowledge MK Dons when they played them. You see
that's
that?
Right. Yeah.
They refused to call them MK Dons on the scoreboard. Called them NK, and they refused to make any reference to them in the matchday programme.
Wow.
Nice.
I know, right?
That's
hard to do.
I know, right?
That is pussyfooting around, isn't it?
It's the Luke Moore, Andy Brassel derby.
It is, and Andy and I have been to that game together before at Fratton Park.
Joe Jordan as a number two.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. If you're going to talk about Harry Redknapp number twos, you need to establish whether it's Bond or Jordan.
Yeah. Mm. Or Jim. Harry and Jim.
That was back in the day.
Harry and Jim.
But Jim Smith's a great manager in his own right. The Bald Eagle's a legend.
Lee Clark always takes Steve Watson with him, but now Steve Watson's at Gateshead, who I'm going to see on Boxing Day.
Oh yeah,
cool.
Hartlepool Gateshead.
Lovely. What a derby.
I think they're still at the big stadium.
Are you the guest of honour?
Is that fiercely contested? It must be. Hartlepool Gateshead.
Well, they've only recently been able to meet because Hartlepool got relegated from the league.
Eagerly anticipated.
Yeah. This is being big.
Big
get yourselves
baby.
Down
Pete,
there.
I'll let you into a little secret. When Portsmouth play Southampton for the first time in ages, it doesn't make it a lower key affair.
If you go into that game, sure to look out for Pete. He won't be hard to spot. He'll be the only bloke wearing Winkle pickers and tartan trousers.
I used to...
I'd imagine.
We hope.
Yeah.
I once contested a cross-country marathon meet.
In Winklepich.
Inter-school marathon meet at Gateshead Stadium.
Did you?
In Winklepich.
And I came 48th out of 50 runners.
Asthma. It's asthma.
Asthma, mate. Well, I was picked. I was good enough to be picked in the first place.
You should have Chris Froomed it.
What does that mean?
Take your salbutamol for your asthma.
Right. Oh, right, okay.
Right, look ahead to the weekend. Here we go. Ben Doohan has been in touch. Hello to you, Ben. He says,
You been doing, Ben? What are you going to be doing at the weekend,
never
Ben?
Never had that before.
I'll tell you what he's been doing. He's been selling us a whole lot of the week.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to the weekend, he says, I'm looking forward to Big Sam and Antonio Conte sitting down for a post-match pint of red.
Yeah, with Lee Johnson's bottle of red wine.
I'd like to apologise for that person for mocking his name. I wasn't mocking, I was just having fun.
Oh,
I don't
up.
Like it. I think it's cheap when people take the mick out of people's names, and also when people ask people how tall they are.
Dave Shaw says, looking forward to seeing several dejected Santa Claus impersonators in the stands of various grounds around the country when their teams get beaten. Nothing fills me with Christmas joy more than grown men looking sad in costumes.
Maybe we'll see somebody like my legendary Fulham spot, two grown men eating an entire advent calendar between each other.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Although the last time a football fan ate a few
chocolates
went very well.
But he didn't have enough. He only had two.
Yeah, he should have finished it all off, shouldn't he?
By rights, he should have only had one. Because that's how it works.
I had one of those cheese calendars.
He should have eaten responsibly.
And finally, this one from Nathan Rogers saying, shout out to Big James Tarkowski for having a lovely old time in getting a 3-game ban. He wasn't even close to 5 yellows. He just stuck a big elbow into Glenn Murray. Have a lovely Christmas, James.
No, no.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Liverpool are playing 4 times in 11 days.
I know, right?
It's mad. Yeah. And I know other clubs will have busy fixtures as well.
I've said this before, but it's like England saying to Germany, well, not only do we not agree with your winter break, we're going to do more games.
We're going to ramp it up.
We're going the other way.
Yeah.
Let's make a new cup competition.
just for the Christmas. It's 2 more games. Yeah.
The eggnog special.
And does anyone think for 1 second that if England had a winter break, all those Premier League teams wouldn't be straight off to the Middle East to America doing
in some cases.
Well, they will be off to the Middle East in 2022, presumably.
Mm.
Qatar World Cup.
Indeed.
Christmas World Cup.
Could be.
Have they decided in November, December?
I think they've decided a lot of things, Marcus.
They are going to be doing it at Christmas.
Let's not.
So there will be a week cleaved off at the start and end, won't it?
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. But thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Concentrating on this Christmas, we hope you have a very, very good one indeed. And of course, we're back on the 28th of December. There will be a ramble in between Christmas and New Year.
Check it out. Look forward to it.
Little post-Christmas treat.
Yeah.
With the turkey sandwiches.
Save it for the New Year's Day matches, if you want.
Well, listen to it at a time.
Well, no, they can
listen,
listen to
it at a time.
Yeah, listen back to as many as you can at all times.
All right, okay.
That's,
yeah, sorry.
That's the company line.
And then
you signed the form.
And then write a review about it saying we're brilliant.
Yeah, yes. Buy laptops specifically to loop them all forever.
Yeah, if you do get an iPhone or an Android device, do make sure you install the Football Ramble podcast and subscribe.
And if you don't...
We never do this. We never tell them to subscribe. Everyone else does.
If you don't like Pete, can we still have 5 stars?
Yeah.
Well, there's 4 of us, so what is that? 4 and a half?
Yeah, should be that 5. Let's go 5.
Yeah,
5.
Yeah, exactly. There we are, gentlemen.
Have a lovely Christmas, everyone.
Have a wonderful Christmas. It's been a bloody pleasure speaking with you in this festive period. Don't forget the 12 Rambles of Christmas. Get involved in that. We've had some lovely feedback. Thank you very much for that. If you haven't heard any, then you're a disgrace, quite frankly.
Yeah, get in touch. The number one's revealed on Christmas Day. Christmas Eve. Jesus. Oh. Christmas Eve, sorry. Yeah, so do check that out and go back and listen to the old ones as well if you want.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Say goodbye, Jim.
Love you.
Say happy Christmas, Luke.
Glad tidings of comfort and joy. Happy Christmas.
And a festive message from you, Peter.
Margaret Thatcher.
Don't start that. Goodbye.
I stopped it. You're back in. You can do it again.
Why did you stop it?
Because I thought the show was over.
All right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.